Ramona, we're sitting here together in Los Angeles, California. Do you remember, though, where you were when you first learned that the girlfriend of then Clippers owner Donald Sterling had audio recordings that she was selling to TMZ?
I was in Portland, Oregon, covering the Houston Rockets against the Portland Trailblazers in the first round of the playoffs.
Harden takes it inside, loses the basketball. Lynn gets it back. Lynn back outside. Troy Daniels.
Good job, it is!
Troy Daniels hits the biggest three of his life. What a cold-blooded shot by the rookie.
We had just got done with the game. I think we were in post-game press conferences, and the news alert hit.
A nation transfixed by controversy. Call it the tale of the tape. One of Hollywood's richest moguls, the owner of the LA Clippers, purportedly caught making racist comments during a conversation with his alleged ex-mistress.
People started showing, have you seen this? Have you seen this? And then our news desk were like, can anybody verify these tapes? And I immediately went and listened to the tapes.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people. You could sleep with them, you could bring them in, you could do whatever you want. The little I ask you is not to promote it on that and not to bring them to my games.
I mean, you just felt the weight of it immediately. You can't hear that tape and not recognize immediately that this is massive, this is degrading and dehumanizing, and it's the owner of the Clippers saying it.
Why are you broadcasting?
I'm not broadcasting anything.
Why are you taking pictures with minorities? Why?
What's wrong with minorities? What's wrong with black people?
Nothing.
What's wrong with these
people? It's like talking to an enemy. There's nothing wrong with minorities. They're fabulous. Fabulous. Because you're an enemy to me.
I think when I put myself back in that moment, I had no idea how far it would go. Like, when you first heard it, you're like, this is bad. But remember back in 2014, we didn't have tapes that leaked and then got put on TMZ. Like, this was the beginning of cell phone justice. This is the beginning of a tape can ruin your life. A tape can get you canceled. A tape can expose horrible truths about somebody. You know, now we see stuff like this all the time. People are always hitting you on voice memos or pulling out their camera phone. Or you see a fight, seven people have their cameras out. Like, but that was 2014. People didn't do that back then. And so I don't think we had any idea what would happen next. We just knew that it was really bad. And I think I remember spending the next day in Portland calling everyone, trying to figure out, well, what would the NBA do? What are they even allowed to do? Like, what are in the bylaws? What's the Constitution say? We were trying to get comment from the Clippers and the comment from the players. But never in a million years did I think, oh, they're going to ban Donald Sterling for life.
Ten years ago this week, when Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling's racist vitriol was recorded by his mistress V. Siviano and released on TMZ, the world got proof of what had been long suspected. When Sterling had his dirty laundry revealed to the world. This prompted NBA Commissioner Adam Silver to force Sterling to sell the team, banning him from the NBA for life. ESPN senior NBA writer Ramona Shelburne has been along for the ride the whole time, and now she's a producer of Clipped, an FX miniseries based on the 30 for 30 podcast, The Sterling Affairs. Today, Ramona walks us through the Sterling scandal, looks at how it changed the way we hold owners accountable, and tells us what it was like transitioning from reporter to working as a TV producer and writer. I'm Clinton Yates. It's Monday, April 22nd. This is ESPN Daily. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Ramona, let's refresh everyone's memory here. What exactly happened 10 years ago?
Well, TMZ published a recording of Donald Sterling, the former owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, having what we all assume was a private conversation with his mistress, a woman named V. Stiviano.
There's a culture. White people steal certain things. Hispanics steal certain things towards blacks. Blacks steal certain things towards other groups. It's been that way historically, and it will always be that way.
But it's not that way.
In which he expressed some horrible racist thoughts about how he sees black players, how he sees his role as owner, and what his role and his power over them were. And when that recording was published, right in the middle of the first round of the playoffs, the Clippers were playing the Warriors. It was before game three, I believe. It was just a massive story that broke online. Nobody quite knew what to do with it, but everyone around the league was reacting. The Clippers' response comes the next day, and it comes not from Donald Sterling. It comes from Clippers president Andy Roser, who put the statement out that said Stiviano had been sued by the Sterling family and she had told Sterling that she would get even with him. So the Clippers held this team meeting, and it was an emotional meeting. Chris Paul spoke, J.J. Redick spoke, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan was really hurt from everything we understood about that meeting, and everybody's a wreck. Just emotional. What should we do? Should we even play? They were getting pressure from everybody, their family, celebrities. Everyone was telling them, don't play. And ultimately, the Clippers decide, after a pretty impassioned speech from Doc Rivers,
our message is to play. Our message is that we're going to let no one or nothing stop us from what we want to do. We're just going to go play basketball. I think that's the right thing.
There's a lot of players who've told me if they would go back, they'd do it all over again, they might have just not played. Because I think they clearly were not ready to play. They got smoked by the Warriors in game four and lost the playoff game anyway. And a lot of people felt like their protest wasn't enough. I think that was a really seminal moment in this league because they did play on. They did play the games. And it affected everybody in the league.
The Miami Heat wore uniforms inside out to show solidarity with the Clippers. LeBron Raymond James stated that day, quote, there's no room for Donald Sterling in the NBA.
And, you know, I had my statement before the game, and I'm going to stick by it. There's no room for that in our game. We've found a way to make this the greatest game in the world.
Adam Silver announced that he's banning Sterling from the league for life.
Effective immediately, I am banning Mr. Sterling for life from any association with the Clippers organization or the NBA.
And in less than a week, Sterling had gone from owner of the Clippers to completely estranged from the National Basketball Association. You grew up in Los Angeles, Ramona. You covered the Clippers. The idea of holding a billionaire owner accountable beyond the recording was not something that we had seen. What was it like then to react to, man, they actually got him at the paint?
That's an excellent point. And that was one of the things that I think is the biggest legacy of this story, which is you can hold truth to power. The powerful can fall over a mistress making a tape of you saying something bad. Like the idea that he would have to sell his team. And we talk about this word property comes up a lot because he uses the word in his statement. He uses it a lot when he's fighting for himself and trying to say, I shouldn't have to sell my team. He says, the Clippers are my property. Now, remember, Donald Sterling is a landowner. Donald Sterling is a real estate maven. He owns like half of Los Angeles. Okay. If you live in an apartment building in Los Angeles, chances are you've paid rent to Donald Sterling. He is the largest residential landlord in the LA County. So he thinks of the team and the players as his property. I'm gonna let that sit for a minute. Because that word is emotionally charged, is historically charged. And when you're talking about a league that is predominantly African-American, it is racially charged. It's a plantation mentality that Elgin Baylor talked about. And I think that's why this idea that, wow, Donald Sterling could actually be forced to sell his team. This is a billionaire who owns half of Los Angeles. LA County can't force a guy to sell his apartment building. I mean, the Justice Department can't force him to do it. And the NBA, I didn't even understand this, because you have a team and you just think of it like this is your team. This is Donald Sterling's team. It's Jerry Buss's team. It's Mark Cuban's team. It's whatever, whoever the owner is, you think of it as their team. But no, they are a franchise of the NBA, which gives you licensing. And their power was, we can take away your license to operate in the NBA. And that's what they were going to do to the Clippers. They were going to say, okay, you could own this gym. You could have these player contracts. You can keep paying these, but you're not going to be an NBA franchise anymore. And that was the nuclear option that I don't think anyone in the NBA, in professional sports, realized Adam Silver had that much power. It's not just Adam Silver having that power. It was the players in the league who spoke out. And I don't know if I could underscore this enough, but the very next day, the first player to very publicly come out and talk about this was LeBron James.
Yeah.
For comments like that, it taints our game, and we can't have that. Can't have it from a player. We can't have it from an owner. We can't have it from a fan, and so on and so on. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Hispanic, or whatever the case may be. We can't have that a part of our game. And, you know, the commish, we'll take care of it. We're sure of that.
And that set the tone for an entire league-wide reaction. I don't like going back to this plantation mentality conversation, but that's really what it is.
It's absolutely what it is.
But this is somebody, a player, who is speaking out against an owner. And that power dynamic is the same in basketball as it is in the United States. So when you have a worker who's speaking out against the owner, like, you can work for any business in corporate America, and if you have a worker who wants to say something publicly, the person they work for, they can just fire them. Well, when you had LeBron James say that, he didn't get fired. LeBron said what he said, and then the rest of the league said the same thing. There was no choice for Adam Silver but to do what he did, because the players in this league were not going to stand for it. I can't express how big that felt back in 2014. Now we see it all the time.
Well, hold on. This is where I wanted to jump in. We see it all the time. But did we have any idea 10 years ago that it could lead to the dominoes it did? Jerry Richardson, NFL's Carolina Panthers owner, Gonzo.
Yeah.
Daniel M. Snyder from my hometown, the Washington football team, gone. But Robert Sarver, they did not threaten the nuclear option, and they still got rid of him, the Suns guy.
Yeah.
That development, professionally and personally, as you've seen.
Yeah.
How surprising was that? What's your reaction?
I mean, honestly, like, Clinton, you could go back to 2014 yourself.
Yeah.
Did you know that a billionaire who basically, they're kings of the universe. They have absolute power. When you can just buy your way out of anything, and you're like, I got more lawyers than you, and I can make you stay in court for 10 years.
Bleed
and
tie you dry.
Yeah, like, every coach Donald Sterling ever fired had to go to court to get the rest of their contract paid out. Because his idea is, I can starve longer than you.
Wow.
I got more lawyers, and I have them on retainer, and we're just going to, that's what they're there for. So we can stay in court for as long as it takes. You're not getting a dime. And let's see how you feel about not getting paid for 5 years while we're in court. That's a lot of power. And so the fact that, like, I don't think anybody realized that the players could have that much power, that Adam Silver could actually do what he did, that this would lead to more of this.
I would gotta say, Momo, I don't think I really thought about it until, I think it was 2020. And when NASCAR brought down the Confederate flag, that's when I said, you know what? They're changing the Washington football team's name. That I literally tweeted that. I said, that's the one thing I can think, because it wasn't just about procedure in terms of franchises. It was about public perception. It was big enough to change things. And that's when I thought about it. Shifting gears here a little bit. Another anniversary that was marked was Adam Silver. It was his initial foray into the league. It was the first big thing that happened.
We talk about the first 100 days in a presidency.
Yeah.
This was in his first, like, 80 days. Like, he had just got the job. Welcome to the league, Adam Silver. Here is a massive crisis to settle. And I think this is interesting because I don't think David Stern would have handled it the same way. Hmm. You know, Dave, I think the sense that I always had, and I can say this now, You know, Adam Silver and David Stern did talk during that period. And David Stern was much more like, well, put it to the Board of Governors. The only people who should hold another owner accountable are the Board of Governors. That's how business is usually settled in the NBA. It's not usually done by executive order. And that's essentially what Adam Silver did, was issue an executive order.
How do you think his reputation has changed since then? That was a fire-breathing moment. We have seen little to none since.
I mean, listen, if you were writing a script for like how to be a great leader in your first 100 days in office, you could not have written the script or delivered the lines as well as Adam Silver did. Like, he was an orator. When he got up there on that press conference, I believe he was in Memphis when he delivered this statement. He didn't just say, I'm banning Donald Sterling for life. He just said, and I am banning Donald Sterling for life. Like, he delivered it with a little oomph because he knew what the moment called for. Like, he understood the anger that everybody felt. He understood how big the moment was. He understood the seismic nature of the tape, but also what he was about to do. And it was like, there's no discussion there. Like, I'm not taking this to the Board of Governors. I'm not getting everybody else's opinion. I think he did call a few owners back then. From what I understand, he called, you know, a few influential owners who've been there for a long time. But he didn't say, what do you think I should do? He said, this is what I'm going to do. And that's a very big difference. And I, you know, I think it earned him a lot of credibility with the public. It earned him so much credibility with the players because they felt heard. They felt heard. And I'll tell you, I remember covering this game 5 in Los Angeles. And I mean, I feel weird bringing up OJ right now because he just passed away.
Sure.
But it really felt like that day. I'm standing outside and I was doing live hits for Outside the Lines, and the Clippers were having a shoot around before game 5. And this, I mean, the decibel level on this was at a 10. Like, the whole city was ready to explode. Like, we were waiting for the verdict in the OJ case. Like, it was like that. When Adam Silver came and delivered that line, I'll never forget this. Like, I'm standing outside the facility and people are driving by honking their horns like they've conquered racism. Like, he just vanquished racism by saying that. Like, oh my God, finally somebody listened and did something about this. And it was like, it was a celebratory moment in Los Angeles. Like, there were people, like Jesse Jackson was coming to the game. And there was a protest march that was being organized at City Hall in Los Angeles. And they were getting ready to march down to the game and protest outside the game. And then Adam Silver, earlier in the morning, banned Donald Sterling for life. And everyone was like, well, I guess we don't need to march anymore. Like, he did the damn thing. Okay. And it was the weirdest game because all the sponsors had pulled their money. So everything was covered up, and all the team, and you have to remember that the poor support staff, like the people who work for the team, like the PR directors and the assistant GMs and whatever, like they're just caught in the middle of all this. They all wore these like shirts, these black shirts that said like, we are one, and the whole arena wore them. And it just felt like this celebratory moment where finally the people had risen up and had their voices heard.
Coming up, Ramona tells us what it's like to go to Hollywood. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Now let's talk about the play of the week, The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. So, Momo, you and I, we live a life that is somewhat celebrity adjacent, if you will. People see you, they know who you are. People see me, they know who I am. But telling other people's stories is what the job actually is. What was it like for you to step into a true Hollywood story? For those who don't know, there's a show coming out based on your podcast. Tell the people.
So in 2019, ESPN's 30 for 30 produced The Sterling Affairs. I always thought of this as a movie. I felt like while I was reporting on this, I was living in a movie.
Okay.
I'm like, this is rich people behaving badly. There is a love triangle. I don't know if you want to call it love, but okay. The Sterlings were married for 60 years. This is one of the mistresses. They had some level of intimacy. I think V. Stiviano said it best. She was his silly rabbit.
Can you tell me what your relationship with Donald Sterling is?
I'm Mr. Sterling's right-hand arm, man. I'm Mr. Sterling everything. I'm his confidant, his best friend, his silly rabbit.
His what?
His silly rabbit.
His silly rabbit?
Yes.
Is that what he calls you?
It had all of this. It had racism and gender discrimination. Then you have little old Shelley Sterling, 80 years old. Nobody ever paid her any mind. She comes out of nowhere to say, you know what? I'm actually going to sell the Clippers. And I know my husband doesn't want to, and he wants to fight this in court forever and ever, but I'm going to do the right thing here, and I'm going to sell the team right now because they're going to take it away from us regardless. And so Shelley Sterling decides, I'm going to sell the team. And we say, well, how is she actually just going to sell the team if her husband, whose name is on the lease, says he's in court still? And it turns out little old Shelley Sterling, 80 years old, perfect shade of pale blonde hair, always dressed in Chanel. She, unbeknownst to anybody at the time, had had two separate psychologists evaluate her husband and get him declared mentally incompetent to make financial decisions for the Sterling Family Trust. Oh, and then there's another little plot twist, which is they had just had their family trust changed because they were turning 80 that year. So this little clause, which is new, allows this woman who had been married to this man for 60 years to come up and just take the sword and sell the team for $2 billion. It was messy. It was yucky. It was juicy. It was salacious. You had tabloids. It just felt like I was living in a movie. And I've grown up here. I've been around rich people. I've been around the Beverly Hills set. I've been around the NBA for 20 years. And I always just thought I was living in a movie. And so when we did the podcast, people said, why didn't you write a book? I go, well, because I like podcasts better. And a book is a lot of work. Like, you just sit in the room and write. It's better when you hear people in their own words. It's better when you set it to music, right? And so as soon as the podcast came out, I started getting some calls from television producers. It took a few meetings, as they say in the business, right? People bought me some nice sushi. and I had always thought of it as like, this should be event casting. This should be like People versus OJ. And then lo and behold, the producer of People versus OJ called me. Her name is Nina Jacobson. And she was like, we listen to the podcast. We love the show. We love the idea. You know, we'd love to option it and turn it into a scripted TV show. And I was like, yes, please. Where do we make this decision? And that process started like, I would say within 2-3 months after after the podcast. And it's been 5 years, but that's, I guess, how long it takes to make a TV show. But during the pandemic, I did a lot of phone calls with the showrunner. She's a woman by the name of Gina Welsh. She's amazing. And then I knew we were in good hands because she did an unbelievable job of researching and listening to everything everyone's ever said about this. She listened to the hundreds of hours of tapes that we did for the podcast, right? All these interviews, they get cut up into a podcast.
Right.
But the raw interview is 3 hours. She listened to everything. She got a cool writer's room. Our friend Rembert Brown from Grantland was one of the writers and producers. He's an amazing guy.
Shouts to Rem.
Shouts to Rem, right? He was on set every day. Every time I would show up on set, Rem would like show me around and everything. He was running a lot of the show. And it was kind of funny because it was kind of what I always thought it would be of like event casting, like who's gonna play Adam Silver? Who's going to play Doc Rivers? You know, who's going to play Donald Sterling? And I had ideas in my head while I was thinking about it, but the actresses and actors that they actually ended up casting are just better than I could even imagine. And so it was kind of fun to watch everything play out in a way that I've always envisioned it, but then you hand the ball off to the Hollywood people and let them do their Hollywood thing. And so like I would read scripts. I got to go to set a few times. People were nice to me, but I let them do their thing. I don't know how to write scripts. I don't know how to make a TV show. So it was kind of fun being like a passenger on board. And occasionally I would go, when I went to set, I have a cameo. I think it's episode one.
Don't give it away.
I think so. I did have a line, but my line got cut. So now you just see me.
I got to say that as somebody that had just moved to LA after being here for a little while, Momo and I were doing shows in this station during the pandemic.
Yeah.
She would talk about this all the time. So I felt like maybe not a passenger, but it was like when somebody you know is doing something cool and they come home and tell you about it, that was a really fun part.
Oh, by the way, wait, I gotta plug it. It's coming out June 4th. They did eventually change the title. It's now called Clipped. And the only thing I will say is the actress who plays V. Stiviano is going to have you out trying to find a visor because she's amazing. Her name is Cleopatra Coleman. And whoever wants to start merchandising those visors, you should go now because she's going to be the star of the show.
She kind of already is the star of the show.
Yeah.
Last thing I'll ask you, through all of this process, through everything you've seen, through the decision Silver made, to what LeBron James said, to what the Clippers did throwing their warm-ups on the floor.
Yep.
Do you think that it worked from a decision standpoint to change the public perception about what the NBA was about, what players were allowed to express, and quite frankly, what should be the right way forward?
I think it changed what we thought was possible. Is change a straight line? No. Like, do we often go two steps forward, one step back? Yeah. Is it sometimes messy? Yeah. But, like, the idea that a player would speak out on an owner, it changed the power dynamic. It changed the idea that there was such a power dynamic. It used to be the owners paid the players and they had what felt like ultimate power. And now I think you see we call this the player empowerment era, whatever you want to call it, whether that's because the players move teams, because they ask for trades all the time, they ask, you know, whatever. I think it's also about the idea that just because you own a franchise does not mean that you own the players who play for you. Like, you don't get to walk into the locker room and ogle your players. You don't get to walk into the locker room and bring your friends and be like, ooh, look at his muscles.
In the showers.
I mean, I heard so many stories about that from former Clipper players. It's so dehumanizing. You don't get to treat people like that. And I think that still probably goes on a little bit in the NBA. In all professional sports, I think people still cross lines. But when they do, somebody might have a cell phone. Somebody might speak out on it. We're going to hear about it. And there might be consequences. And the idea that Donald Sterling behaved like that for 30 years and nothing ever happened, like, that's over. Like, if you behave like that for a long time, people are going to speak out. People are going to say something. And so I do think things have changed. I do think it's not unilateral, but at least there's a discussion now. At least there's that path is open. At least there's this idea. Like, when I remember in the finals when there was a co-owner of the Warriors and he kind of bumped into one of the players on the Raptors. I think it was Kyle Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was out. Like, that tape came out. Kyle Lowry said something and that dude was gone. I mean, that never used to happen. I think that's a big deal. And so I think that's probably the biggest legacy of what happened to Donald Sterling. And I thought about this a lot because, you know, you do a big podcast, you do a show, you have these through lines and themes. And I always thought, like, the through line of all of this was Donald Sterling had had mistresses before. Donald Sterling had had scandals before. Why was this scandal the one that took him down? And it was because the world had changed. The technology had changed. She had a cell phone, not a VHS. And the media had changed. There was TMZ now. Like, I don't know that you leak some voice recordings to the Washington Post or the LA Times 20 years ago if that's going to blow up like it did. And then there's social media, so it goes viral. And then the NBA had changed because they had a new commissioner who was going to listen to the players and make an executive decision rather than just kick it to the Board of Governors. So why was this scandal, why was the Sterling scandal such a big story? Because it was this mistress, it was this time in America, it was this time in the NBA, and the world had changed, and Donald Sterling hadn't. He had been master of the world he conquered in real estate, the world that he became a billionaire in, but that world changed, and he didn't change with it.
Love to listen. Can't wait to watch. Thank you, Momo.
Thanks, Clinton.
You can watch the FX miniseries Clipped on Hulu starting June 4th. I'm Clinton Yates. This has been ESPN Daily. We'll talk to you tomorrow, kiddos.